our watching and our waiting is almost at an end. Our expectations have been mounting, and we're ready for them to be met. Our anticipation is just about to bear fruit. Just 2 more days till Christmas Eve. The parties have begun. The cards, the emails, the texts, the phone calls are picking up. The wall-to-wall music on the radio no longer seems like an imposition. And instead, it's now more of a harbinger. Joy is going to overwhelm us. We are going to celebrate. We're going to have a great party. And yet, into the midst of all of this, we've just dropped Psalm 80. This isn't exactly a feel-good text, is it? What gives, some of you might wonder. Indeed, some of you may be asking, hasn't Steve been preaching on the Psalms a lot? Indeed, isn't this the 4th week in a row? It's Advent. Shouldn't we be talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, Annunciations, John wandering out into the desert? Why go to the hymn book of ancient Israel? Why indeed? Well, this is a season of preparation. This is the time for us to get ready for the arrival of the Christ child. And we can do that best by reminding ourselves of who God is and what God does. And there's really no better place for that than the Psalms. The Psalms have been at the core of Jewish and Christian worship for millennia. And it's no surprise. These hymns, these songs, are filled with hope and despair, with joy and fear, with desperation and celebration. The Psalms give voice and form to the full spectrum of human experience. They say so much about God and so much about God's people. Now, what is said is not always flattering or comfortable, but that's okay. We've noted before that while the Bible may not always be factually accurate, it is true. And we see its truth reflected in the fact that it doesn't shy away from difficult things. If our scriptures were fabricated, if they were made up out of whole cloth, they would not contain patriarchs and matriarchs who wander off. They would not tell of a people who continually get lost or abandon their God. They would not talk about a God who can seem vengeful or spiteful. No, everything would be lovely. It would be perfect. But then it wouldn't be true. Here in today's lesson, we hear a word about God that on surface can seem very discouraging, but in truth is actually filled with encouragement. Did you hear the cry of the psalmist? Let your light shine upon me. Three times we hear this refrain. Now, this psalm is written at a time of great trouble in Israel. We're not quite sure when. It could have been as the Assyrians were invading the northern kingdom. It could have been after its destruction and the deportation of its people. But something awful was happening. Yet even in the midst of all of this, the psalmist, who is writing for a community, the psalms, after all, were meant to be sung in a congregation. Even in the midst of all of these trials and tribulations, the psalmist felt there was a relationship between God and God's people. There was someone to talk to. Indeed, the psalmist felt that all of Israel's story had been driven and motivated by God. It was God, after all, who had brought them out of Egypt. It was God who had brought them into the land. It was God who gave them a king. God planted a vine, and it grew and it flourished. But now it was being trampled upon. Now Israel's enemies mocked her. And so the psalmist cries out, God, let your light shine upon me. The Hebrew is a little bit more specific. And it says, Elohim tzivaot hashivenu v'ha'er panecha v'nevashuva. I don't expect any of you to be able to translate that. But the key word in there is hashivenu, is turn back to us. Turn. There's a feeling that God has turned away from the people. And the psalmist asks God to turn back. And then in doing so, to let the light of his face, that is, or panecha, to shine upon the people. Another way of phrasing what the psalmist is saying is, God, look at me. Pay attention. I'm here. I suspect every one of us in this sanctuary has at some time said or thought these words, look at me, I'm here. The situation could have been as trivial as one involving a clerk at a store who seems too occupied talking to a colleague, to a family member who adamantly refuses to engage with us in the midst of an argument. Or maybe it's a bittersweet moment when that boy or girl in high school does not deign to acknowledge our presence. It's happened to us all. I experience it as a father. I talk to my son, look at me. I know he can hear me. I know if I said, I've got some candy, I could pop the video in, oh, he would look at me. But there are those moments when he chooses not to. And it's frustrating. And it's disappointing. And it's disempowering. This is the emotion that the psalmist gives voice to. I suspect there are atheists who think that one of the worst things that could happen to a person of faith is to wake up and realize that God doesn't exist. To find out that all of the energy all of the passions that one has invested in a religious life have been for naught. But the truth is, I believe, for people of faith, the worst thing that can happen is to know that God exists and to feel that he has turned his back on us. Though it's not said here, it is implied in the offering of the psalm that the psalmist believes that ultimately God will turn back, that God will shine God's face and his light upon the people. This has been the belief of the Jewish people for more than 2,000 years. They'll argue, they'll dispute, they'll go back and forth with God. But through thick and thin, there's always been a belief that God is there. And God has not turned away. And look at the witness that is offered. Romans, Assyrians, Seleucids, the church have tried their worst. But a people endures because God has not turned God's back upon God's people. And the church also offers a way of looking at this psalm. As we cry out, God, look at me, we profess that God does indeed look at us. God turns his face to us as an infant in a manger. God turns his face to us as a precocious youngster wandering the precincts of the temple, amazing his elders. God will turn his face to us as a dynamic teacher in the synagogue. And God will turn his face to us as the one who comes to heal those who are ill in mind and body and spirit. God will turn his face to us from the cross in the person of Jesus, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in doing so, making clear that God has not only not turned away from us, but that God knows our pain, that God shares our pathos, that God is with us because God has chosen to be one of us. Look at me, we cry out. Look at me. And as we do this, we should be thankful and grateful for this time of Advent. Because it gives us time to practice our listening. So we can hear God as God calls out to us, look at me. Don't be distracted by the world. Don't give up. Don't despair. Look at me. I am here, says God. I am with you always. This is what we are going to celebrate on Christmas Eve. God coming and shining his light upon us. God looking at us. God redeeming us. God saving us. God loving us.